Let's bow a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for Jesus, that we can stand in him, what he has done for us, Lord. We can only humbly say thank you. But Lord, as we come to your word now, we pray that your spirit will minister your truth in our hearts, that you might encourage us in our faith. For the glory of Christ we pray. Amen. You know, the Black Death was a huge pandemic event in history. It peaked in Europe between 1348 and 1350, and is thought to have been a bubonic plague caused by bacteria. It reached the Crimea, the island Crimea in the Black Sea in 1348, and is most likely spread on the back of black rats that travelled on the merchant ship. A rough estimate is that 25 million people died from that plague. The population of Western Europe did not again reach its pre-1348 level until the beginning of the 16th century, 350 years later. I wonder how the people survived in those times. I wonder if they feared living then. I wonder if they had known it was coming to them. The pandemic that we were and still are facing is similar to them, but there is a big difference. Over the last year, and still today, we have doctors, medical scientists, and governments that are working to keep us informed, and thankfully now, a supply of antidote for the virus has come. We have TV, radios, internet to listen to. In 1350, they did not have any of them. They did not know what was coming towards them, as we know. 2 years ago, we were doing our own thing. Life was committed to working and helping and enjoying it. It was fun worshipping with others and socialising, even singing in church was great. We had no fear to walk on the beach or watch our favourite team play sport. Catching up down the street for a drink was not hard to do. But life was free then, wasn't it? But in 1969, Bob Dylan sang a song, and it's entitled What? The days they are changing. Surely times have changed from 12 months ago when the first virus appeared in Australia. And over that time, many, many questions have been raised. How should we live in these times? Isolation, fear of disease, loneliness, can't shake hands, can't go out for a meal, can't visit loved ones in a nursing home or a hospital. We have to wear masks, no singing in church, sports games stopped and restarted without fans. Children learn from home for a while. How should we live? What should our lives look like? What worries fill your mind? Were you afraid in the peak of the pandemic? Peter, writing to the scattered church in the first century, wrote these words in 1 Peter 2, 9 to 12. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Today we'll look at these verses in light of the drama that has and is still surrounding our societies today. And to do that, I wish to look at 3 points. Firstly, who we are, what we are called to do, and why we are to do that. So firstly, who we are. You know, we witnessed the Ruby Princess pulling into Sydney Harbour, and a lot of people got off and just walked away without being checked for COVID-19. And some were carriers of that virus. We witnessed how 4 doctors went from New South Wales into Queensland, which was illegal to do. And we know many, many more tried to do that. We witnessed how people abused one another and disobeyed the law by going to Bondi Beach for a great big party. No time not to. We can think of a lot more incidents where people didn't do the right thing and started to spread the virus in certain areas like Liverpool, Northern Beaches, or Sydney, Blacktown, to name a few. The virus spread and we were caught in it as New South Wales became locked down to other states. We can look at what was going on and say, it wasn't me that caused that. Blame them. But throughout all of this, the government have tried to help us understand the COVID-19 and how to beat and avoid it. Yet we've been challenged to consider who we are and what should our response be to it. When we look at what Peter has written in verse 10 of our text, we come face to face that all of us were outside of God's love. We were sinners, God breakers. We did our own thing, going our own way, and we had no thought of God. Paul graphically shows us what we were like in Ephesians chapter 2, the first 3 verses. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. That's not a nice picture, is it? But it's a true picture of people without Jesus. But, let me say that word again, but we were like that. So now look and see what is written in 1 Peter 9a. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Hang on, stop. I chose to become a Christian. Was it my choice? Well, let me ask you this question. My wife told me to cut the size of the steak down. If you had a 200-gram steak on the barbie and that steak said to you, hey, I want to come back to life, what are you going to say? No, you're not. You're my dinner. You're my dinner. Can we say to God, I see I was dead in my sins, but now I am okay by my own efforts to please you? We can't do that. If it is no way, then how do we become a Christian? The verse says that we are a chosen people because we have received it from God. Paul, in his says this in Ephesians 2, 4 and 5. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions, it was by grace you have been saved. And then you go to Ephesians 2, 8, and it says, for it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. God, in his love for us, and in his mercy, has called us into his family. He does this through the working of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit's work is to convict people of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. Imagine you're on a boat and you're at Niagara Falls having a beautiful holiday and you're on this boat and all of a sudden you've got no oars, the motor stopped and you're drifting for the falls. And then all of a sudden this hand comes out and says, take hold of it, quick, grab me hand, so I can pull you to shore. Would you take hold of that hand or would you go over the falls? I'm a chicken. I'll take hold of the hands. I think we all would. Well, you know, in history, Jesus stretched out his hands. He stretched them out to show us how much he loved us. And he says, if you take hold of my hand, I will save you for eternity. Did you listen to the Holy Spirit in your heart saying, come to Jesus and you'll be saved? Did you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Are you part of God's family? And I pray we all are. But now consider verse 9 of the text again, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Notice the words that are in there. You are chosen. You're special. You're privileged. A people belonging to God. You become a royal priesthood. You know, in the Old Testament, Aaron and Levi were set apart to serve God in the temple. They had to carry out all of God's laws concerning the tabernacle. Today, Christians are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, as verse 5 tells us. In all that we do, we are to offer to God our services of praise and thanksgiving, doing everything to honor him. These are our spiritual acts, our spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. And we are a holy nation living under God, knowing all the benefits he has and he is giving us today in what we do. So with all that, now let's turn and look at what we are called to do if we have our faith in Jesus, right? What are we called to do? Verse 9 being 11. Two things. Firstly, positive. Look at 9b. People who have been saved by the Lord are called to do what? that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. I don't know about you, but when I accepted Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior, the reality of that conversion hit me. I was saved from eternal torment to receive the eternal love of God. How could I keep that news to myself? I couldn't. I had to share it with people. For all the fathers here, let me ask you this one question. When your first child was born, what did you do? Did you keep them joy to yourself? Or did you let others know? Well, Tony kept it himself. I can see that. You let other people know. I want to praise the Lord in what I do. Very few times I fail to do that. If you consider what the Lord has done for you, shouldn't you want to tell others of the grace and the love of God you have received? To say no is to say you don't care that other people will go to hell. You want to keep it all to yourself. Is that what you want to do? But verse 9 tells us, if we are Christians, God says to all of us that he wants all of us to declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. In Luke 10, Jesus met a religious leader who wanted to justify himself. He wanted to do this by his actions. So in response, Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan to him. You know the parable? There's a merchant going down the road, robbers get him, but robbers beat him up, leave him for dead and take all of his goods. But thankfully, a Levite or a priest and a Levite from the temple come, and they will help him, won't they? But no, they walk on the other side of the road and keep going. And then a Samaritan came. And the Samaritan has compassion on the merchant and helps him. Then Jesus asked the religious leader a question in verse 36 of Luke 10. Which of these three do you think was the neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Well, Jesus' words to that religious leader was a real challenge. It was a challenge. Samaritans were the enemies of the Jews, so no one would want to help them. The point of the parable was the religious teacher had to do the unthinkable in his own mind. He had to show mercy and love and care to his enemies, like the way the Samaritan did to the beaten up merchant. We would all say, yes, that's the truth. We would help a person in need. Is that true? Yeah, we would. Well, you know that just over a week ago, we heard about a person on Clyde Mountain. The car had gone over the side, someone stopped, someone went down, people were hurt, the person stopped, and the person waved down 50 cars, and they all kept going, and that person died. We are all called to love and care for those around us, and even stopping to help people in times of need. But the greatest way we can truly help people is to care about their eternal destination. They need to hear and know about Jesus' love for them as well as the love and care we can give to them. We are all called upon to declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Can we do that? But also, we are told, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. When we live to honour God in all that we do, do you know that others are watching? For some, the only Bible they will read is our lives. There's a story of a man who worked in a rough environment. One day, the boss called him in and he asked him, "Why are you so different?" That opened the way for that person to share his faith, and the boss became a Christian. You don't know who's watching you. You don't know if someone is going to ask you, "Why are you different to others?" And yes, sometimes someone may accuse you of doing wrong. And even if they accuse you, you are to honour God in the way you live and what you say. So as verse 12 says, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God. Live godly lives for God. For there will come a day when we all will be standing before him with our faith in Jesus and will be welcomed home. But until the day we go home to be with the Lord, always remember God is with us and he guarantees us his peace as we serve him. So our second point is negatively. Verse 11, we are called upon to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Yes, we are always being challenged to do the wrong thing which wage war against our obligation to love and serve God. Yes, we are called to live holy lives and shine for Jesus in all that we do. I don't know about you, but I fail sometimes. Yes, there are times I shine for Jesus, and then there are times I fail him. Do you have that experience? Do you desire to live your life to honor God in all that you do? Do you fail sometimes? The truth is, we all do. And if we give in and continue chasing sinful desires, it will ruin our souls and bankrupt our faith. Rather, if we fail, then we are to repent of our sins and get up and ask God to help us to shine for him once again. And why should we do that? Well, this leads us into our final point. Why we are to do that. On the day he visits us in 12b, every person will have to stand before God and give an account of their lives to him. Many are on the road, at least to destruction. They have rejected God to do their own thing. If I say like the Victorian government, legislation they passed. What we are to do is to remember who we are personally. Not worry about other people out there, worry about ourselves. Who are we? We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, so that we can declare the praises of him while we still have opportunity to do that. Because people need to hear that the message of Christ before it's too late. And one day, Jesus will call us home. So no matter what comes before us in 2021, always remember who you are and serve Jesus with your whole heart. Do not give up. Do not let go of Christ. Serve him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you and praise you for your love and grace. And Lord, there's nothing in us that really we can say is good. But Father, you love us. You have done everything for us. You have called us into your family through Christ. Father, help us to love Christ. Help us to live for Christ. Help us to be your ambassadors here for the glory of Jesus. Amen.